Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Chapin. Around here, we believe that faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. Each episode brings honest conversations, biblical wisdom, and
practical tools to help you follow Jesus in your everyday life. Let's get started.
All right, let's jump right into it. Today is a unique episode. It's a little flavor for the times we're in. Right now we're in October and Halloween's fast approaching. And, you know, as I was preparing for this podcast, I got a lot of resistance from people. I'll protect the guilty and not say who. But the point is, they were very concerned because this podcast is called Beyond Sunday. And what does Halloween have to do with that? And here's the answer for everybody that might be wondering, what are you doing here, Ben? And so what I'm doing is, in my mind, Beyond Sunday is everything that's not on Sunday morning. And Halloween does fall into that category. And yeah, so I think it's important to talk about, especially since Halloween is one of those topics in Christian circles that people have very strong feelings about, and they debate and they argue. And yeah, you know, do we trick or treat? Do we not trick or treat? Should we hand out candy? Should we decorate? All that stuff. And I don't want to tell you what to do. That's not my goal. My goal is to mimic and imitate God through Jesus Christ in the fact that He didn't just come out and tell people what to do with their life. He had leading questions. Okay? And that's kind of what I want to do. I want to give you some scripture today. I want to show you some interesting things that this little clip will show you. And also, you know, just have an honest conversation about this. So the first thing I want to do is just talk about Jesus, because it's all for Him and it's all designed to glorify Him, everything in life. And as we think about that and this holiday together, something I want us all to ask ourselves, does what we're doing as a family reflect the character and heart of Jesus? And that can feel very pointed and accusatory and everything. And I just encourage you to bring those walls down, okay? View it like a friend, like you're just having a conversation with somebody, okay? Because it is not meant to attack you, okay? I grew up my entire childhood going trick-or-treating. And even today, I take my kids trick-or-treating, okay? So these questions are not designed to, you know, push my thoughts onto you, but to invite you and myself into an honest conversation of the topic of Halloween and us as Christians and our lives and how these two can coexist, or if Halloween might just not be what God designed us to do. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 10 for a moment. There was a lawyer that approached Jesus and he asked him a question. It's a very important question. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know the answer to this question, right? Believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Believe that He died and rose again 3 days later. And Jesus here, He could have simply just said, "Believe in me." But that's not what He did. Let's take a look at what he said. Jesus replied with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, the conversation went on for a while, but the point I want to make here is Jesus did not come out and just tell him the right answer. He wanted to engage the lawyer's mind and his heart. He was a lawyer. He was already thinking a lot, right? Like, lawyers are pretty smart dudes and gals. And Jesus here wanted him to think instead of just give him the right answer. You know, I think of my children and think about when they approach and they have questions and they just want answers. And it's like, hey, well, what do you think? Those leading questions help us to grow as people. Just like it helps our children to think through things, it helps us to think through things. And if we can engage both the heart and the mind and the spirit, that's like the winning combination. And, you know, the thing with Halloween, I think why it's so highly debated is it's a tradition. It's so ingrained, especially in America. It's so ingrained into our lives. Like we, growing up, we, you know, personally, we had pillowcases and we would load up in the van as a family. It was a family outing and we would go door to door and it was an amazing family time. And when things are so entrenched in tradition and repetition, when someone wants to deviate, somebody wants to change that, it's like, hey, no, don't change that. And if we just change because we think it's right, without engaging the heart, without praying through things, that's trouble. That's, even if it's the right thing, that's trouble. Last night I watched there's this whole thing called deconstruction. And it's basically Christians who end up stop believing in God. But anyways, I was listening to this woman's testimony of her deconstruction journey. And, you know, it started out like any of us that grew up in the church all our lives. I mean, she went to church on Sunday multiple times. She went on Wednesday night back when all the churches did Wednesday night. And she was super active in the church and youth group and going to camps and doing all the things. And she did this for all her childhood. And then even into her adult years, she kept it going, doing all the right things. But something happened in her life that caused her to pause. And she started asking questions like, do I believe this? Do I believe God is good? Do I understand God in the Bible? And slowly, through these questions, leading questions, she unearthed that she was doing all the right things, but she didn't actually believe it. And she never stopped and asked herself these questions until way later in life. And the point of sharing that is to point out the fact that if you listen to me or somebody else and you come to the conclusion, oh yeah, I'm not going to do Halloween no more, we're done. But if you don't actually communicate with God, don't actually have your heart and mind working together to come to that conclusion, it's pointless. And it does more harm. Because if you only do things because you think it's the right thing, not because you believe it's the right thing, you're going down a bad path. Because the goal isn't behavior modification here. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, there's a warning in Matthew that Jesus says, in the end, I'm going to butcher this. In the end, people will say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that for your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And it's like, what's that mean? That means they're going through all the motions, doing all the right things, but there's no relationship. That's why Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Not, hey, you didn't do enough. It's your heart wasn't in it. And the heart of the matter is so important to God. You know, and when you look at the Old Testament and you look at the law, all the laws and the regulations, if you go deep, it's about love. It's about God caring for his people and taking care of them. And it's ramped up in the New Testament. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he took things like, hey, don't commit adultery, and he took them to the next level. He said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. God is obsessed with our hearts and having a relationship with us in the best possible way. So I encourage you, as we walk through this episode together, that you keep that in mind. Like, don't just change everything up because you think it's right. Don't do that. It's a dangerous, slippery slope. In John 8:31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth. It's 2025. We live in a crazy world, okay? It doesn't take much investigation to figure that out. Truth in the world, it's not absolute in their minds, right? Like, oh, what is truth? You know, Pilate said that. It's an ongoing issue in the world where they don't understand truth. But God's word right here tells us we will know truth. We do have the absolute truth when we are born again and we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes and it teaches us all things. Okay, now we're going to listen to a clip, and this is an ex-Satanist that was deep in the trenches doing all the wrong things for many, many years. I listened to the majority of the episode that we're just going to do a little clip of, and, you know, this guy, his heart has been transformed by Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And he spent over 2 decades, if I'm remembering correctly, he spent over 2 decades entrenched in this crazy, crazy satanic cult. Something to do with the medium and stuff. I'll put a link to the full video if you want to go check it out. But his testimony and his story is amazing. And this clip here that I'm going to let you listen to is just him talking about what Halloween is to the Satanists. Because we all know what Halloween is to us as Christians. It's just a time to get some free candy and dress up a little bit. But let's take a listen, and hopefully this broadens our minds a little.
I do want to get into some of the sneaky ways at which Satan has been attacking the church, and we've got Halloween coming up. This is a debate with a lot of Christians. It's like, okay, you're going too far. This is just a day to dress up. And then on the other side of the coin, it's like, wait, but what are we worshiping here? So as a former Satanist, what is your opinion of Halloween?
So I can talk a day about this, a whole day. I want to start with the following. The founder of the Church of Satan had a very well-known quote where he said, and this was Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan and co-founded Satanism as a religion, the first person to do that in the world. There was a very well-known quote where he said, "I want to thank Christian parents for allowing their children to celebrate the devil one day of the year."
Oh.
Seriously. The founder wanted to thank us as Christian parents. Like, I want to bag Halloween just because of that. That is upsetting. Upsetting to hear that's what the founder said about Christian parents and just wanted to thank us. Like, that right there is just, it's a signal in my mind, hey, this might not be good for you, according to God. Let's keep listening.
Look it up. It's so, people still think, and I know in the U.S., Halloween is big. It's massive. And it's kind of, you know, kind of came over to South Africa a few years ago where people are now celebrating it in popular culture as well. The reality, the truth about Halloween is the highest day on the satanic calendar. It is the most probably important day on the satanic calendar. It's considered a high day. It is also the night of the year where there is the most human sacrifice on the whole planet.
That is crazy. It's a super important day to them. And there's more human sacrifice than any other day. I don't even get what that means exactly 100%. I mean, I know what human sacrifice is, but like, are people being killed or like in a ritual or something like that? I do wonder what that means. Or is it like just historically, like the data shows that people die a lot on Halloween? It's mind blowing though. It's a very, very important day for these people.
So if we look at it in a, let's call it the popular culture aspect first. So many people think Halloween is about candy and it's about dress up, but they don't question the meaning behind it. So let's say, for instance, in a neighborhood or an area, there's homes that celebrate Halloween, where they put up the decorations and they do the pumpkins and they do the candles and the candy, those things, right? And it's fun. Let's say in a neighborhood, there is houses that do that. So that whole perimeter becomes one big satanic ritual for that whole neighborhood.
Wait. So you're telling me, because I've got them already up, it's September. There's skeletons, there's creepy stuff in our neighborhood already. So you're saying my neighborhood right now is cooked? Like, what are you saying there?
So I'm saying that in a neighborhood or a area perimeter where there is a few homes, that is already a set up as in terms of a hotspot for demonic activity. And anybody, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, that has open doors, that moves or lives in a neighborhood like that, will be affected. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. It's an amazing, amazing thing, isn't it? That something that is so meaningless to us as Christians could be so important to the enemy. Listen to this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. There is an ongoing spiritual war happening all around us, whether or not we're paying attention to that. We all know about the armor of God and how we got to put that on. It's every day we got to put that on. In this warfare, it's hard for us, even as Christians, to pay attention to it because it's not visible to the naked eye. Yeah, I think about that story in the Bible and how the eyes were revealed to see the tens of thousands of angels and the battle and stuff going on. There is an amazing, powerful weapon that we have on our side, and that's God and His Word, the sword of truth. You know, I joke with the kids sometimes, but the reality is it's like, hey, grab your sword, aka Bible, so we can go to church. And that weapon helps us so much in our walk, and it's part of why it's so important to be spending time in the Word every single day, even when it's like, I've read this 1,000 times. It's like, yeah, you have, but you got to keep sharpening that sword for battle. You're in a battle. Our kids are in battles. Everybody's in a battle. Another passage I want to share with you to think about, Ephesians 5:11. Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And a question I want to give you here to chew on. If Halloween has roots in celebrations that glorify darkness, how do we reconcile that with our calling to be the light of the world? How do those things work together? Another passage I want to share with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Verses 19-22, he's focused here on spiritual discernment within the church. Do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit lives within us, and it creates a sensitivity to the things of God. And the more we pollute our minds and our hearts, it tapers down that Spirit. That Spirit that can discern between the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. And we get compromised as we engage with the darkness. And the Spirit moves through. When it talks about prophecies here in verse 20, it's not talking about people telling the future. Another type of prophecy is expounding the Word of God and the truths of God that come from His Word. And as we digest God and His Word into our souls, it's transforming us from the inside out. But we have to guard against the quenching, against the forces. Remember that we're in a battle every single day. And then we got to actively participate in testing everything. If your pastor says something, a friend, a relative, whoever it is that biblical? Should be a question every Christian has on their mind as they hear somebody make statements. And if it's not, or you're not sure, go research it. And if it's not biblical, reject it. God's word tells us we have everything we need for life and for godliness. And especially in today's excessive technology world, there's lots of inputs coming in. And we have to filter those as Christians. We have to be able to label those. That's wrong. That's right. That's wrong. That's right. And we do that with God's word and keeping God's word continually transforming and renewing our minds every single day. And through that testing, we hold strongly to what is good, focusing on that good. In Philippians 4, we're told we got a list of good things. It's basically focus on the good. Stay fixated on the good things in life that God has blessed you with. And then finally, abstain from every form of evil. Even the appearance of evil. Some versions of this verse say, abstain from appearances of evil. That's why I say that. And, you know, it is easy to pick apart Halloween when we talk about abstain from evil, because it's like there's skeletons and zombies and dead bodies and all that stuff, and avoiding those things, you know, you can take your kids to church. A lot of churches have activities on Halloween to fill in the gap for Christian parents who don't want to participate in trick-or-treating. And if your church doesn't do it, call around, you'll find one, I promise. And that's a way to avoid appearances of evil in your life. You know, have the kids dress up like Bible characters, hang out with other Christians at a Christian church. You can do that. That's an option. But, you know, there's also people out there that are going to say, hey, you can't do that. You can't do anything. You shouldn't have anything to do with this holiday. And I don't want division inside the church because of different convictions. It goes back to having a conversation with God, thinking through these things, and then coming to the best possible decision based on what God is placing on your heart and where you can find peace. You know, speaking of peace, years ago, I was wrestling with, you know, God's will in my life. I say years ago. I mean, it's a constant battle in life. But anyways, I had a good friend tell me something, and it just popped into my mind, and I think you should hear it. And basically, whenever you're trying to wrestle through a subject and, you know, you struggle with clarity on the right decision, my friend told me, find peace, which basically means find where God is giving you peace as you think through option A, B, or C. You know, which one is filling you with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? Which option brings you the most peace? And that's usually the right direction to go. So, and I think that's important to consider as you think about how to handle Halloween and what to do with that. And I encourage you to, if you have people in your life that you disagree with on the topic, don't let it divide you. What a silly, silly thing to let division interrupt and separate people because they disagree about something. It's so sad when that happens, because relationships are hurt and life goes by. these days we won't get back. The word tells us to be careful with how we spend our time. And if we spend our time fighting and arguing and disagreeing and then cutting people out and stuff, we're just inflicting pain. More pain into the world. When we're called to walk in love and light and we have to do that. I think it's important, especially in today's world with how crazy everything is and how everybody is on edge and there's just so much struggle out there. And the world needs Christians who are real Christians. And what I mean by that is people who actually live and operate in the light and the love of Jesus Christ. You're not a keyboard warrior. You're not fighting and arguing with people until your face gets red when you follow and love Jesus Christ. You know, we're commanded in Scripture to love God and love others. And honestly, I believe that the only way to love other people is to first love God. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with who He is. And that overflow is what the other people get. Because if we approach people in a relationship where we need something from them, like love or affirmation or whatever it is, if we're in need as we walk towards that person in relationship, I feel we already lost. Because we're going to be constantly trying to get something from them, that love, that approval. But if we walk into a relationship, our love tank is full from God, then we can truly love that person. Not because their behavior or anything like that, but because they're made in the image of God. And we know how much God loves them. And that transfers to us. The love of God compels us to love others. So, as you celebrate or don't celebrate Halloween this year, I just encourage you to think through it. Think through these questions, these passages, and find peace as you communicate with God and ask Him for what's right.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Sunday with Benjamin Chapin. If this has encouraged you, please share it with somebody and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's next. If you'd like to invite me to speak at your church or next gathering, or maybe you just want to explore the 60 plus books I've published, be sure to visit BenjaminChapin.net. And remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls.